Welcome to Ready to be Romanced. I'm Tori.
And I'm Kelly.
And today we're discussing
the fine print.
Kelly, it's so nice chatting with you. I can already tell that this is going to be a good episode just because I feel like we could talk forever.
It's so true. Like, you could have told me to read any book and I would have said, yeah, let's do it. Or we don't even have to talk about books. Like, we can just chit chat.
Totally. So we met through your podcast, Boobies and Newbies, when you invited me on to cover a fun little holiday book. And I always credit you as the person that got me back into reading after like 10 years.
You don't know how excited that makes me, because like the entire idea behind Boobies and Newbies was to introduce newbie romance readers to. It's so funny how many people don't know like just the idea of newbies, but it really was like I wanted to bring in people I worked with, people, just friends, my roommates. I even did an episode with my mom once. I wanted to just bring in people to the genre that I love, especially because I feel like so many people have insurmountable, unrealistic expectations for what the romance genre is and what kind of books are within the genre. And then all it takes is the right book. I won't say like one book, but maybe it's your second or third, the right book though to hook you. And then look, you launched your own podcast about romance.
I know. Well, it's just so funny because it's just been, I always laugh about this, that I did turn my like last hobby into a capitalistic venture, but like,
we're living in a capitalistic society. You got to get the coin. You got to do what you got to do.
But like, it was just like, this is all I want to talk about. It's like with my other podcasts, especially when I started about it, I was like, I want to talk about these things. I don't have anywhere to talk about it. I'll just speak into a void at some points. Yeah, that's romance novels for me.
Yeah.
And it's very, very exciting because today is actually the launch of your newest book. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
This worked out so well. And believe me when I say I wish that I was as good as at marketing that I planned this to coincide with your episode release. And I didn't. But no, I am launching a baseball romance series.
I love it.
Set in the Pacific Northwest because I live here in Portland, Oregon. And it's a little bit of a small town romance series as well because the thing I love about small town romance is that you get to invent every ridiculous niche business that exists in this town and you get to give them all punny names. And I know that that's something that so many authors are scared of doing. That's one of the things that I feel really good about doing. So
absolutely.
I am pleased to welcome everyone to the fictional town of Rose City, Oregon, and meet the Rose City Roasters, which is my fictional baseball team.
Yes, because there's a coffee tie-in, which is, I feel like, very Oregon.
It is. No, I really was like, you know what? The Milwaukee Brewers already have beer. So what else do we really do here in Oregon? Well, we do donuts, we do coffee, and I guess like trees, like, but you know, I'm a coffee hoe, so I was like, I am going to go full into the coffee puns, the coffee merch. The mascot is a hipster barista. Like, I was so excited to write this because, you know, hockey romance kind of like had its big moment in 2023.
Yes. Yeah. For better or for worse.
Yeah, like, exactly. And look, I get down with a hockey romance as often as the next person, but do I know a thing about hockey? Absolutely not. I know you're Canadian, so maybe it's different for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can't run away from the hockey boys.
Right. Even if you try.
And I have.
I last year was like thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I need to maybe I need to, like, jump onto this trend and write hockey romance, and then realized I don't know anything about hockey. So I do know baseball, and I do really enjoy baseball. And that just seemed like the perfect thing to do. And to set it in Portland was actually, or just outside of Portland, I should say, was really important to me because we don't have a professional baseball team here. And it's something that people have talked about wanting for years and years. And we always are like the second choice when teams are going to move. They almost move to Portland and we never get them.
That's so funny. You're just inventing, the world that you want to see.
Exactly. That's kind of my writer brand in general.
Yes. Is creating, it really is.
The world and the characters and the relationships that I aspire to have in my life. And so,
totally.
As you said, the first book, it's Hit It and Quit It, because, you know, we got to carry those puns throughout the titles as well.
I love it.
And it's out today, April 12th, and I hope people check it out. It's in Kindle Unlimited if you, have that. It's a free read, I guess, for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You've published two books so far. I've read both of them. Love, love, love. I think if people haven't read your two books, I would consider your writing style to be like maybe Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. I feel like their dual writing with like their Holly Jolly Ever After series, yes, or whatever, with the puns and stuff like that, I feel like it's very similar. So if people like Julie and Sierra, I feel like they should definitely go check out Kelly's books.
That's such a compliment. Like, I
it's true, though. It's true.
Whoa. But no, it's true. And I actually, it's so funny you say that because I just saw them posting about how they're going to be at a PolyCon next year. And, they created some merch and they're these super cute tote bags and they say raunch coms instead of rom coms on it. And that really is what I'm trying to write. Are with the first two books, they're holiday novellas. They take place during Christmas in Los Angeles. And yeah, they're spicier than your average Christmas Hallmark movie. But I try to kind of like keep that same tone.
Yes.
But then also make it like aggressively millennial and feminist. So like, I know I'm not for everyone. I totally get that. But yeah, that's sort of like what I'm aiming for, is real people in their 20s, 30s and 40s. I don't know. Can I swear?
Having sex.
Fucking around.
fucking around. Having a good time.
Because let me tell you, if there's a trope that I love, it is a fling to lovers. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that should be more of a genre. Everyone's friends to lovers, enemies to lovers. I like a fling to lovers. Yeah, absolutely.
So good.
I love that. It's also just so cool to see people living out their dreams. So I hope the launch goes really, really well.
Me too. Thank you, friend.
But we're here to talk about another book today, The Fine Print. So, spoiler warning, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about this book, but nothing that comes after because it is a series. And The Fine Print was written by Lauren Asher and it was published July 8th, 2021. It is a book suggested by a listener named Mandy. So thanks, Mandy, for bringing us this book.
Good choice, Mandy.
Super good choice, because I want to start the episode with just saying, I feel like if I lived in Florida or California, I would be a full-blown Disney adult. I feel like I used to be embarrassed saying that. I'm not embarrassed now. So this book was truly like right up my alley.
Yeah, it's so funny because I am from California, although I am from Northern California. So it's not quite the same thing. But when I did live in Los Angeles, you know, just about everybody you know and their mom all have a season pass to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And specifically Disneyland. Like, there's other theme parks, but that's the one that
totally
people do gravitate towards. So I'm with you. When I first heard about this series, and I actually read this book a few years ago, and so it was fun to do a reread of it. I was like, this is so cool. I've never read a book about a theme park, like, in mm-hmm. the story. And I'm a big fan of reading things that I haven't read in romance before. Like, whether that's a character's profession, whether it takes place in a country that I've never been to. I love, because I feel like it just gives us a chance to experience new places and new cultures, and I don't have the money to like go and experience these things in real life, so I might absolutely as well.
It was really like living vicariously through yes someone, because like again in like another life I'm a greeter like for it's like it's a small world or yes whatever, like I
know, but of all the rides that's the one that you're going with.
It's the first one that oh came to mind. No, God, actually, the first one I was thinking of is, like, Matterhorn. But, like, mm, or I'm a Disney princess doing the character meet and greets. One of the two.
Yeah. I always liked the, I like their outfits at the Indiana Jones ride. Like, yes, I don't know. Yes. Maybe it's, like, the kinkster in me. But I'm like, ooh, I can carry around, like, a whip.
Whip. Literally a full whip. Yeah, that's so funny. But this book takes place in Dreamland, which, like, you know, it's a ripoff of Disneyland, but like again, no shade. I'm obsessed no with it. And we meet Rowan Kane, our main character, who is at the funeral for his grandpa, who is the founder of the amusement park. So kind of like a Walt Disney esque
yes
character. And during the reading of the will, there is a little bit of a stipulation put on his, like, inheritance.
Okay, side note, this is another one of my favorite microtropes in romance. I love anything that's like, I died and now you have to take the family business, or yeah you have to live in the family home for a yes year. Like, I yes love these.
Me too. It's very like Hallmark movie, but in yes the best, again, no judgment, like in the best ways possible.
It's so, and it's such like a great setup, because you're really like, no matter how ridiculous it is, you're setting the stakes from the very beginning. Like, I mean, it's just like, this is how it's going to go. He has to like take over the company, or, you know, they don't get their money. Like, so I love stuff like this. I really do love this trope.
Me too. And like, it kind of makes sense, because I think we get the picture that the grandpa Brady didn't really like the way that his son and or grandsons were running the business, as mm-hmm as very much like money over everything. We're going to cut your health insurance. We don't care about our employees and stuff like that, where he was like the dreamer and yeah wanted it to be the, you know, happiest place on earth and like all of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I there's a lot of really great, and I'm sure we'll go into this, but there's a lot of really great family like stuff baked into this. Like, there's some family trauma. There's also like just this whole idea of like legacy, and like seeing that both with him and with Zara, and like what her family's legacy is, especially as immigrants. Like, I really, that was one of the things that really drew me in the first time I read it. And I did go on to read book two. There's probably a third book that I haven't read.
Yeah, there is a third book, because the second one covers Declan, and I think the third one covers Cal, which is yes his older brothers.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm I think he's the youngest. And yeah, so flash forward, they're at work at Dreamland, and Rowan sits in on a meeting with some of the employees, and in walks this girl who's wearing like a very, it's the definition of grumpy sunshine. She is in her full like brightly colored, very fun outfit. She skateboards in. Yes. She's late. Everything that he hates.
another one of my favorite tropes. And look, I love when he's grumpy. I love when yeah she's grumpy. Me I too love it. Either way, I just, oh God, I love the combination of grumpy sunshine.
Me too, because it has the hint of like enemies to lovers without having to create a full backstory of why they are like arch nemesis.
Right.
Like,
it's just you're not the kind of person that I associate with. Like, you're everything yes that I don't understand, that I don't know myself. And yeah, that's enough to piss you off. Like, I mean, we all have people like that, right? We're absolutely just like, I don't have a genuine reason why this person annoys me, but like, I know that they do.
Until you get to know them and then I accidentally fall in love with them. So she works for the park salon where they like those children or child like makeovers.
Yes.
Which again are so fun. They like make them into a little princess or prince. And like you mentioned, her family's Armenian and they've all worked at Dreamland for many years. So mm-hmm. it's really important to the family's like core identity. Mm-hmm. And they clash. They don't like each other because Zara is also not afraid to tell the company what's up in terms of like how the employees should be treated in terms of like their salary and health insurance and all of that stuff.
The like subtle commentary in this book on capitalism and like generational wealth and exploiting your workers is
totally
just,
and like kind of how Disneyland has moved, because I don't know the history that deep, but I'm assuming, obviously I'm sure Walt Disney wanted to make money, but it's like mm-hmm. it did seem like he had this dream of like creating a place where families could come and spend time with each other, and then like to what it is now where it like is just like more money, buy more stuff,
yes,
participate in capitalism. So I feel like there's some deeper meaning behind this like kind of more fun book.
Yeah,
but they have this first meeting, it goes terribly, but this is fun, one of my favorite micro tropes, because when they leave the meeting, he goes and looks up her employee file. And I love the, like, he's thinking about her in mm-hmm. secret and, mm-hmm. like, looking up her Instagram or something like that.
We love, like, some subtle. Look, I don't read. I'm not a dark romance girly, so I know some people are really into, like, the stalking in their books.
Yeah.
I love a good, like, light stalking.
Like, yes, you know, like, an appropriate, like, what we would do, like, if. Yes.
Like,
a
if quick you match Google with search. Somebody on Tinder, yes. the first thing you're going to do is try to find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Totally. 100%. And Zara has been working at the salon, but she has a dream to become a creator, and she has a chip on her shoulder, rightfully so, because mm-hmm. she used to date this guy named Lance, and she had this big proposal to submit to become a creator about how she would improve the parks, but he dated her, stole her idea, submitted it, and then got promoted.
What a dick. Like, can
what
I
What a
just,
dick.
I have to just say, too, like, you know when his name is fucking Lance.
Lance. Like, it's that's just
look,
like
and I know I'm like a little biased because, like, in my book that comes out today, she has a dick ex-fiancé named Walden, and and one of my ARC readers messaged me while she was reading, like, and gave me this great play-by-play while she was reading and said, oh my God, his name is Walden.
Walden.
You know he's going to be a douchebag. Like,
that's so funny. Oh my God, I cannot wait to read that. That's amazing. But yeah, totally. Like, you can just tell he's a dick. But on a whim, her and her roommate submit proposals for this new creator program, and surprise, surprise, Rowan reads it, loves it, and hires her because he has this goal of improving the parks to gain his inheritance, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and he loves her ideas.
She's a dreamer.
She's a dreamer. She had this relationship with the grandpa, so, like, there's some kind of, like,
like a mentor, just
yes,
to be clear,
yes.
like a mentor,
yes, yes,
mentee
not a
kind
sexual
of look, anything,
just to clarify,
anything is possible in romance yeah. novels. We gotta yeah. be clear.
Yes,
mentor relationship.
Yes, so he's like, she's my free pass to becoming CEO, mm-hmm. and she's like, oh, I finally get to live out my dreams to improve the parks to fulfill mine and Brady's mm-hmm. Visions. So she gets the job. She's doing well. All of her ideas are really accepted by the creator team and by Rowan. But there's one thing about them that stands out in a bad way, and that's her drawings. Mm-hmm. And Rowan points that out and keeps her after a meeting, and they get into a little bit of an argument about like her needing to step it up in the drawing department, and he kisses her.
It's so funny to me because I'm just like, look, this would be me. Like, I'm an idea girly. Like, could I draw this like to save my life? Absolutely not. Like, you would,
I know,
you would think there would be some kind of partnership between people who have the ideas versus yes. somebody who can like actualize the ideas, but.
And of
whatever.
Course, there's me that I'm thinking, I'm like, girly, put it into AI, get yes. it to spit, get it to spit out whatever you need and call it a day.
Yeah.
But she's like drawing them by hand. And
but he just can't resist her.
Yeah, they kind of get into this heated argument. And then he's like, oh, my fucking God, why did I just do that? I've never done that with an employee before. And I was like, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing.
It's moments like that I appreciate in romance novels because I love a fantasy as much as the next mm-hmm. person. Like, mm-hmm. I want to read about them banging on his desk. Great.
Yes.
But I just appreciate this moment of realism where he's like, oh, my God, she could go to HR. Like,
he says, if you go to HR, yeah. I won't stop you, which I was like, I respect that, too.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was so funny. Yeah, she says, one second he's scowling at me and the next his lips are slamming into mine.
Mm.
It's very cute. After this little interaction, he says, I actually have a suggestion. You can connect with this colleague of mine, wink, wink.
Scott.
Scott, who can do the drawings for you because he's really good at them and it would just amp up your presentations.
And so begins another favorite micro trope of mine, which is
hidden identity.
Okay, no. So here's the thing is I'm not big on hidden identity or lying to somebody. However, I love a good texting or online, yeah. epistolary, I think is what they call it, epistolary romance, where they fall in love over their text messages or their very You've Got Mail. Like I
was just gonna say
this.
You've Got Mail is the ultimate
yes.
epistolary.
I agree.
Yes, absolutely. And it's cute just because he's like, he wants to do the drawings because he grew up wanting to be like Brady, his grandpa, and like very dreamer, very artsy and stuff like that. But his dad really had other ideas about masculinity and was
yes.
like, real men don't draw. Drawing is a useless hobby. Those are direct quotes from the book.
No, we
and
love an
so
art,
he stopped.
Artsy king. Like, that's
totally.
And again, this is what I really love about this book is that there's so many, and I know, and I see it in our notes coming up next too, which is like, I love that this book touches on so many different areas, like, because then she introduces the idea of the like buddy program.
Yes.
And he gets paired with her sister who has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is such a great idea. And what a wonderful way to not only incorporate him into her family, like, and see that connection. Because I love that. That is one of the things that I fall in love with when I read books is.
Me too.
Show me. Especially the hero. Show me the hero like blending seamlessly in with her friends and family. And I'm sold. And so
Me too.
It's such a great idea to show him not only being a decent human being, but show him taking like a vested interest in her and the people closest to her.
Totally. And I also liked that it wasn't just because of her. He like genuinely
yes.
like really likes doing it.
Yes.
It's also so funny later in the book that, not too spoilery at this point, but like when they have their breakup and Annie's like pissed and he's like,
I love
sorry,
that.
I'm on Team Zara. Like, you gotta go.
That's the best. See, and that's what yeah. I love is I love when people call the people out and tell them like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? You're being an idiot. Like those are some of my favorite moments. If you have to have a third act breakup, and I don't think
yes.
you have to, but if
no.
you do, I do love a good slap you silly, like back into reality kind of moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of third act breakups, I really thought it was going to be the identity reveal. That's another thing I really liked about this book is we're skipping ahead a little bit, but we can talk about it just like that he finally admits that he's Scott and he was doing the drawings. And I was like, oh, that's over for them. And she's definitely mad and they talk about it and she's hurt by that.
But they have a conversation.
They have a conversation and they work it out. There's no miscommunication here. Yeah. And that's not the reason that they kind of have their, like, yeah. It was a second act hiccup and then a little bit of a third act breakup.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I'm with you. I think the first time I read it, that was something that was on my mind as well. And
yeah.
I actually really like that. I like this book a lot. But one of the things that I do really like is that it always kept me guessing because it at first is like, oh, it's going to be like a grumpy sunshine. He has to get his inheritance. And then it's, oh, now it's a hidden identity story. Okay, we resolved that. So now we're moving on to this. And it's just, it's so refreshing, I think, because I feel like too often, and I say this as an author and a reader, I think too often books are too long. Like, I really do think that
I just read some Sarah J. Maas books. Yes.
It's just, I do feel like there are way too many. And I get it for even something like that. I do think that when you're talking about, like, romanticy or paranormal or something where you have to do, like, this incredible world building. And you have to create the rules and everything. I get it to some extent. But when we're writing and reading contemporary romance, I'm not expecting to sit down to a 500-page book. Like, you know,
100%.
And so the fact that she could put so much into this story and it still wasn't like that and it still didn't feel like that, I think is very impressive.
Absolutely. And it didn't feel shoehorned in because you're right, there is a lot of tropes in here.
Yes.
But none of them feel like the author was just trying to, like, add them in for the sake of having them. Like, they feel true to the story.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, we get more push-pull tension with Zara and Rowan at work. And it's a cute moment when they're texting because she's like, oh, I find Rowan really hot. But I also really like Scott because he's, like, so attentive and cute to me because when she says, thanks for doing the drawings, you can have the password to my streaming services, he starts watching all of the things that are in her, like, recently watched.
That's love.
It's so cute. They're, like, talking about, and it's, like, kind of Regency romance stuff. And she's just talking about how much she likes them. And he's, like, watching them and, like, also enjoying it. But it's cute.
These are, like those two things by themselves. Like, the taking an interest in the shows, books, like, whatever it is that you like. And sharing your streaming service password. Like, those are, like, such key, I don't know if I want to say, like, I'm thinking of, like, the five love languages. Like, those are, like, love languages unto themselves. It's, like,
totally, it's trust building.
Yes. And I mean, it really is, like, a very millennial Gen Z thing of, like, to share your passwords with somebody. Like, that's real. Like, that means we're getting serious.
Absolutely. And yeah, but kind of, because it's like, yeah, it's a password. But, like, it's, like, you are opening it up for them to see what you are watching. And some of it might be stuff that you don't talk about in public or whatever. So, yeah, it is kind of showing yourself a little bit in that way.
Yeah. You don't get to judge me for re-watching Gilmore Girls for the 8th time. Okay? Yeah, Scott.
Literally. But, yeah, she finds out that he's Scott. And she's, like, hey, this is actually – she's, like, I'm mad for you for lying to me, absolutely, but she's also kind of like, I'm relieved because I was kind of falling in love with two men. And he walks her through why he was lying to her. So he talks a little bit about his childhood and how he has, like, distrust for people.
Mm-hmm.
And they make up, they have sex.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Okay, I was shook to my core because I guess he kind of seems like the dangerous type, but she, up until now, we're getting full sunshine, full Disney vibes. Mm-hmm. It was steamy. Oh, yeah. I pulled some quotes for you that I'm going to read aloud. Like, wild stuff. Again, not expecting this. So he says, "Would you rather me show or tell you?" His husky tone makes my skin break out in a wave of fresh goosebumps. And the smile on his face, absolutely positively devious. But the way he crawls over to me on his knees, enjoying the show. "I like how you look begging on your hands and knees. I don't beg. Practice makes perfect."
Hell. Mwah. Yes.
Hell yeah.
All the chef's kiss in all the restaurants. Like, it's, oh God. And you know what? Again, like, one more thing that I love in romance, and you know this from listening to my podcast and being on my podcast.
Yes, I
love when we subvert expectations, like, especially when it comes to gender and, like, yeah, the ideas that we associate with, like, traditional masculinity and femininity. So, like, to see a man, a grown man who is, like, a powerful man, full, got tons of money, wears a suit, on his hands and knees crawling, begging for, like, her to, you know, take mercy on him and fuck his dick off his body, which she does. Oh my God, like, there's nothing hotter than that, honestly.
No, truly. And, like, also, it just shows you that you can have sweet, like, sex, and you can and be a sweet person and also, like, super hot in the bedroom. Like, it just I really like how realistic these characters are.
This is why I always tell people, and look, I'm a single gal who dates men, and I always tell people, I'm like, don't set aside the nerdy, quiet guys. Those are the guys who get freaky.
I love this. Like, I love that. Oh, I love that. That's amazing. Good advice. I'm going to say one more quote and then we can move on to their fun dating. Please. But her fingers reach out and trace the outline of my cock. We switched POVs here.
Okay.
I grab onto both her wrists and lock them in place by her head. "This isn't about me tonight. You don't want me to help you with that problem? Take a man out to dinner first. Does my pussy count?" Fuck. I think at this point he had just gone down on her.
Yes.
Also, I'm so bad at reading the quotes. I need to get the voice like you. "I'm Kelly."
No, that's, again, though, such a good, like, we love a good switch. We love it when we switch up, like, the power play and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So to go from he's begging to then, "I'm going to hold your hands above your head." Like,
yeah.
And anytime somebody chokes somebody, like, I love it. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the man, the woman, whoever. Like, you're choking somebody out while, like, getting them up. Perfect. Perfection.
Yeah, it was really unexpected, but really, really fun to read.
Yeah.
They agree to keep things casual, but their relationship progresses. He takes her to New York on a whim.
I love this so much.
So fucking funny, because he wanted to bring her to meet her favorite author, which I think is the series that she's kind of watching.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching as well in the book. So funny. This was really cute.
Talk about, like, the grandest of grand gestures is, like,
absolutely.
Not only, and look, here, you have a millionaire billionaire romance. I am only going to love it if you have them spend ridiculous amounts of money on things.
Like, I know, I'm like eat the rich, except for in my billionaire romance.
Exactly. Seriously, billionaires in real life, garbage. In books, I'm just like, why aren't you buying out the entire opera? Like,
no,
what?
Literally, I'm like, take me on your private jet to New York. Exactly. Fuck the environment. Like,
right. And then to top it all off, not only does he take her to meet her author and everything, then you find out that the entire book signing was arranged by him just so he could take off. Like, that is...
I know. And she's like, you wanted it to be casual, right? Because she's talking to the author, and the author's like, yeah, I was going to, like, do a favor for one of my friends, Rowan. And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, no, he, like, fully set this up.
It's just, oh, my God. See, and that's the thing is, like, I'm not big on the third, and I know that this is still early, this is like halfway through, but mm-hmm. I'm not big on third act breakups. I'm also not big on grand gestures to win somebody back unless they're so specific to the characters. Like, it needs to be something that they talked about in the book. It needs to be something that they, you know, a callback to like something that happened between them earlier. And so the fact that this not only is so personal to her, but also like costs obscenely, you know, obscene amounts of money to like make happen. I love it. I love this grand gesture so much.
And she sees snow for the first time, which was very cute. And so funny. Just very good visuals. Very, very fun visuals.
Yes.
When they're there, he says it's really cute. A kiss for a secret, which that's another micro trope I like when couples do some type of like when they can't be vulnerable. Yeah, like when they can't be vulnerable with each other yet. So they turn it into like a little like
truth or dare or something.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. I have never thought about that one before, but you're right. That totally is a micro trope.
Yes. Yeah. It happens in a lot more books than I feel like you realize. And I think it's just, I think it's realistic? Do I think people do it? Maybe not all the time, but I love the meaning behind it is that they cannot be vulnerable yet with each other, which that's the realistic part. Yes. And they're using this guise of a game to talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
But when they start the game, he goes, a kiss for a secret. And she goes, I've never heard of this game. That's because it's exclusively ours. Like, and I was like weeping at this point. Like, I went from like super hot sex to weeping in minutes.
There's one line like this in every book. Like, there's one line like this that it usually is like, it has a lot of feelings and emotions packed behind it, but it comes at a place that is like too early to be talking about those feelings.
Yes.
But
we know.
And I can even tell you, I know that exact moment in the book that I wrote. Like, I know that exact moment.
I'm so excited.
Because as the reader side of me, I like was reading it while doing edits and was like, oh my God.
I'm gonna read it and then I'm gonna send you my guess for what the line is.
Oh my God, please do.
And everyone else listening can do that too.
Yes, please do. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, but I love that where it's like, us as the omnipresent, like, character, like, we can see that they're obsessed with each other.
We're like, you guys are in love. Get over it. Come on.
Totally. So they continue their dating. They go out for dinner and Lance arrives. And Rowan and Zara had kind of talked about this prior. And then he's like, oh, so this is like, we're putting a name to a face of the guy that stole your idea. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because he's immediately like, guess what? You just got a promotion. And actually the promotion is in Dreamland Shanghai. So enjoy your time in China.
Again, this is like another act of love that I didn't realize I was
into.
Like, I know there's like the who hurt you and there's there's like the I'm gonna get this guy who did this to you.
Yeah.
I kind of just love the I'm not gonna get him, but guess what? You're moving across the world. Bye.
Yes.
That's pretty great.
It was amazing. Again, a more realistic thing than like punching him in the face or like firing him for no cause.
And more
quote, long unquote.
Term. Like, look, we just banished you to China.
Like, it's so fucking funny. They have some passionate car sex after this date. Again, another steamy moment because they're talking about how much they drive each other crazy and how that they're going to have sex with the driver 3 feet away. And every single time people have sex, like billionaire romances, they always get it on in the back of a limo or a car or what SUV
you
or whatever. And Beyonce just plays in my head. Partition.
Yeah.
Like, just.
I mean, that's what it's there for, right? Like, I mean, like, they wouldn't have created this partition if it wasn't for this. Like, let's be
100%. Like, all of a sudden, I'm just, like, singing as I read my book because that's exactly what it immediately reminds me of. So there's these still competing storylines where Rowan is like, I want to become the CEO, but being the CEO will take me to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I am, you know, beginning this relationship with Zara. I want to stay here. But he's getting a lot of pressure from his family. The brothers got to stick together against the dad taking over the company. Billions of dollars are on the line. Mm-hmm. And as this happens, Zara catches pneumonia and faints.
I will say that's probably like the most random like thing in the book this, to me.
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't love this. I do get the point of these things. Yeah. I've covered The Duke and I and The Viscount Who Loved Me, who they both had traumatic like health accidents in the books and TV shows where it really forces like usually the male main character to like confess his undying love. Mm-hmm. But it's not my fave trope.
I really like a good like caregiving moment. Like
me too. I love and he is taking care of her.
Yes. Yeah. And so I do think it's a great way to show, especially if it's that he's taking, actually I really love it when she takes care of him too, but it's like it's a great way to show vulnerability and to like bring them closer, because you don't take care of somebody that is just like your fuck buddy. Like that's not,
yes, you're not like staying with them at the hospital and stuff like that,
right? Exactly.
Totally.
But pneumonia, I like I was like, she could have just hit her head and been hot. I don't know why that's so weird to me, but maybe it's because it's Florida and I just imagine like pneumonia being something you get when you're cold and like it's
well
never...
They did say that they said it was from her New York trip. Which I still don't know even if that's how you get pneumonia, but I was just like, I'll roll with this.
Exactly.
And I was like, I hope that Dreamland health insurance wasn't taken away.
Right, we gotta get that premium package.
But I guess he sees her in this vulnerable position and mm-hmm. he is afraid to like really commit to her and really admit that he loves her, so he's like, okay, I'm gonna move back to Chicago, become the CEO, and I'll take my rightful position. But she calls him out. She says, I think you're being a coward. Why are you giving up on us just because you're scared? And why are you moving back when we have potential something to be something here?
And this is again, like, I know we talked about how we thought it might be a different third act breakup moment because of like the hidden identity. Mm-hmm. And this is like the classic third act breakup moment between the we're just friends or like we're just fucking around, like whatever it might be.
Yes, yes.
And this is like to some extent part of the book that I wrote as well, in that a good portion of it is them having a fling. And you have to decide whether or not that third act breakup moment is going to be something else, or if it's going to be the one person wants to keep the fling going, or one person wants to break off clean and the other one wants to make it more serious. Like that's definitely like the natural trajectory for that. And it does feel like a natural thing in real life too.
It does. Just when you're seeing this person in a different state and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, this is real life. Like we were kind of off in La La Land, mm-hmm. not Dreamland, La La Land. And now it's like, oh no, like you are a person that could get ill, that like.
And he's already lost so many people too. I mean, that's the other thing is I do understand. And I have a hard time reading books where somebody has lost like a spouse, or I don't read a lot where they've lost a child, but like somebody where they've experienced so much loss that like they're afraid to get into the relationship because of the idea that they will eventually
lose somebody else. Yeah.
I have a hard time reading those. But it is a very real
common
circumstance.
100%. I feel like there's some books that do that really well.
Yeah.
Just like kind of have their behaviors explained by, and I think this book does it too. It's like, mm-hmm. these were his behaviors about like stopping drawing, being ashamed of drawing, kind of going to the hard ass CEO versus the dreamer. Mm-hmm. Like he had reasoning behind all of that.
To close off the emotional side of him.
Exactly, exactly. And you're right, yeah, he lost his grandpa. He doesn't have a great relationship with his dad.
No.
He does have his brothers, though, and...
But even they are very, like, closed off as well.
Yeah,
and I think that's very much a product of, like, how they were raised, as well as just how all men are raised within
and
our world.
Three boys together, and with a dad being the prominent parental figure, I think, bound to have some closed off emotions and difficulties communicating. So there's a little bit of a twist ending where Rowan's like, okay, I gotta prove my commitment to Zara, but also to Dreamland. So I'm actually gonna present on an idea that I've had. There'll be like a committee that Brady put together from the grave. And Zara's on it. So she's like, okay, if I'm on it, he's not like using me for my ideas. And they reconnect. He declares publicly that he's going to stay at the park, make sure these plans go through during the presentation. And he gains the shares. He becomes the CEO. And he gets the girl.
And he gets to stay in Florida.
It's very cute. It's very, very cute. We see in, like, the end of the story in the epilogue, like, how they've brought in or brought back, I guess, the kind of family ties that Dreamland had and kind of that magic and that, like, happiest place on earth kind of vibe.
And they get, they have babies.
they literally
you know how much I love an epilogue baby.
I know, it's so funny. Like, I get it, it makes sense.
And you know what, it makes
people
sense
want
for
the HEA
one.
It makes sense for sure.
It makes perfect sense in this context for me, because so much of the story for both of them is rooted in family.
Family,
and so,
totally.
Like, for them to go on and have kids of their own and, you know, keep this park in the family and everything, I totally, I get that. I respect that. I will say, I, in general, am kind of not into the epilogue where somebody's pregnant or, like, is having a baby. And it's only because that's so much of what we've seen in epilogues for many, many years of romance. And I hate that that has become the one idea of how a happily ever after should look, is marriage and a baby.
100%. And it just seems so jarring, because it's usually, it's like the next, you just leave them off and then it's the next page. They are married. Yeah. Married with a baby.
Yeah.
On the way or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. It is jarring. And you're right. There's definitely lots of happily ever afters that we could see that don't include marriage and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially
it is kind of the standard.
Yeah. No. And totally. I do think we are shifting away from that. It's so funny. This was actually a conversation we were having on both Threads and Instagram recently. And because it's something that, like, for my, like, in my personal life, I don't envision myself with kids. I don't see that being a part of, like, my happily ever after. And this is a conversation that is had amongst readers and writers and reviewers and bookstagrammers, like, pretty often. I feel like it kind of, like, circles around every few months. And I will say, I'm seeing more and more people request endings that don't include a baby. You know, that, in fact, I loved somebody's suggestion where they said, can't they just go on an amazing vacation? Like,
no, literally. That's what, I love the epilogues that are like them on a vacation or just, or them at Christmas or whatever, like just having a good time.
Get a dog. But,
totally. It's so funny because, like, a lot of times I even skip the epilogues because I'm like, I'm good with where this has ended. There's a lot of bonus chapters of books online or epilogues that I don't even engage with because I'm like, I'm happy with the happily ever after in the main book.
Yeah.
Don't need to hear 10 years down the road what's up. Like,
it is funny. I was just at we were talking about this. I was at a book signing and there were panel discussions with the authors. And so I was moderating one. And one of the things we talked about was, I don't even think it was about initially epilogues, but it turned into that. And then people talked about, like, how they used epilogues in their book. And I, one of the other authors and I agreed that, like, our epilogues are for fucking. Like, our epilogues one last sex scene that we couldn't fit in.
I'll read those. I'll read those, baby.
And then some people love, you know, I love to see them years in the future. Some people
I like that.
Wanted just, like, you know, a month later. Like, and it really is funny, though, like, how we all have different ideas of, like, how we want to use that last little bit of the book.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah, to each their own.
Yeah, this one made sense to me, but I totally agree. It's really dependent on the what happens in the book. But yeah, sometimes I just, like, don't need them.
Yeah.
Love a prologue. Don't need the epilogue.
Good to know. See, this is great. I'm going to take notes on this because these are the things I need to know as a writer.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if people are the same. I'll put an Instagram poll up. I'll ask if people like those things or read them. Yeah,
I am curious.
It is so interesting, too, because sometimes I'm dying to hear where the couple is. Like you're saying, 10 years down the road or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I wish there was an epilogue. I wish there was a novella or whatever. But like in books kind of like this where it seems like it's going to be standalone. Maybe we'll see them a little bit in future books as not the main characters, but as side characters. But I'm just like, I didn't need it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I respect that.
Okay, let's do a little bit of roundtable discussion. Here's our internet investigation. This is our cursory peruse of the internet of things you need to know. I just want to say, bangarang of a career for Lauren Asher. She started publishing in 2020. And she's had this very successful Dreamland series. And then she has another series. I read the first one. It was called Love Redesigned. I can't remember. Let me.
Oh, yeah. It's the Lakefront Billionaires.
Yes. She loves a billionaire.
Yeah. No, she really did. I think this was her second series because I read The Fine Print and we did it as a Boobies and Newbies book club pick. And it would have been, if this came out in 2021, I think we maybe did it in like early 2022. And at the time, I was like shocked to see that she had so much, so many followers, so much, so many great reviews about you know, her books, considering she only had The Fine Print and this one other series. And I think that was how people found her. It's like a Formula One series, which...
Oh, that's so smart. That was the moment a few years ago. Still is, kind of.
And it's
of.
Like, considering... Yeah. That's the crazy thing about romance is, like last year we talked about it. It was hockey romance. And you're right, a few years ago... Formula One was huge. They started that show. That's like the reality show.
Yes. I Drive to Survive. Loved it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Honestly, watch it. Okay. It's like a bunch of, again, hot, rich guys.
Yes.
Like working out like with in like high intensity, a lot of also toxic masculinity.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff,
yeah. But it's like, my point is that you never know what's going to take, like, there's a lot of luck involved because sometimes it's the trend starts and you jump on the trend, and then sometimes it's that you just write a story and miraculously somehow
culturally
there's something going on.
That's so interesting.
How cool for her, though.
Very cool. She shared a little bit in an interview about the backstory. So she said, I grew up in Florida, so visiting theme parks with family during holiday breaks was always a fun idea. While I'm a fan of Disney World, as I got older, I ended up really loving Islands of Adventure because of the ride.
Aww.
I know. I was like, that's cute. Back in 2021, before I wrote The Fine Print, I watched a ton of videos on theme parks, including ones about how they function behind the scenes and the history behind certain rides and lands. I was inspired to create a theme park that catered to children and adults alike and combine all the elements I loved in my favorite parks into one place, Dreamland. Which, again, there was a time in 2020, like the bad days, where I was also like on YouTube watching like behind the scenes Disneyland content as just like a comfort watch. So it's like, this is so relatable.
When I think about the fact that I've never been a video game person, but when I tell you that I like inhaled playing roller coaster tycoon and like zoo tycoon as like a 12-year-old.
It's so fun.
Yes.
I have said for years, I feel like I've said this on record, maybe on RTBP, but like, I think there should be, there was a, there's Adventureland, the Kristen Stewart movie and Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh yeah, which wasn't even like that great either.
And it wasn't very, like it was, yes, about the theme park, but like not really. And then there was a Canadian TV show that I can't remember the name that had like one season and it was about a Disneyland knockoff. But it is just such a, I have no idea why we don't have more rom-coms, more romance novels, and more honestly, movies.
Like, where is like this scripted drama series about like,
absolutely all the ride shit. Breaks down.
Yes, and then like everybody's hooking up with everybody because that's the thing about workplace series specifically is like, you know that like everyone's like hooking up with somebody else.
Yes.
And they have so many rules.
Yes. And that's, you're right, because that's the kind of culture. Or like you have these seasonal workers or whatever. Like there's just so much that could be explored.
Oh, this is an idea, girl. This is like,
I've been saying this for years. Mm-hmm. Just it's such a good setting and it's so visual that I just don't know why we don't have way more.
I don't know. Because really, if you think about it, there are so many like workplace, both drama and comedy series like over the years. And I'm like, I can't believe of all, maybe because it would be more expensive like to like film it. But I just am thinking like, why of all things have we not had a theme park one?
No, I know. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably the sets and stuff like that would be really expensive and hard to film. But I don't know. If anybody has like BTS experience in film and TV, like let us know, because it just seems like a no-brainer to me. Everyone can relate to going to, even if you haven't been to Disneyland, like a fair in your town or whatever. Like, yeah. And like it could be a small, like you're saying, hometown type affair, or it could be a big thing like Disneyland. Like the world really is your oyster.
Oh yeah, I did want to mention, and I don't know if this is the right place in the episode to do it, but I will say there's one other book series that is about a theme park, a romance book series that's about a theme park that I will recommend. And it's different from this one in that if this is the Disney World inspired romance,
yeah,
the Honeywood series by Julie Olivia is more of the rural Tennessee Knott's Berry Farms kind of series.
Love it.
So it's kind of a nice juxtaposition because, like, yes, you get a lot of crossover of, you know, the rides, and like one of Julie's books is about there, I think they play like the prince and the princess who like dress up and but they don't like each other, you know, like, and it's so, it's,
I'm obsessed with that, like it literally writes itself.
I agree.
You're right, you could have the people working the rides, you could have the CEO, like the business side of it, you could have the characters, like it just,
I mean, they had Zara, who worked in like
the hair salon
for kids. Like, yeah, I never would have even thought of that.
100%. Yeah, there's so many different ways that this could be done.
But yeah, so when you finish the Dreamland, the Dreamland Billionaires, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Go to Honeywood.
Yeah, I'm very into that. I'll put that in the episode show note. That was my only wonder why. My only unanswered question was, why is there no more books based in theme parks? Also, like, you could, I feel like that would be a fun, now I'm really getting into it, but like a fun, like, oh, the, he owns the park and he shuts it down for a night just for you, or like,
yes,
oh, they have sex on a ride or something. Like, I just feel like there's so many things, fun things that you could do.
I will say that is kind of one of my things about workplace romance is like, if there isn't a scene of them having sex in the workplace, like
not included in a workplace
romance. And I know that we're on to, we're getting into our gripes and grumbles.
Yes.
That would probably be one of mine is I love, and I think it's because I love like the, you know, the idea of like it being like a little bit forbidden. Like you're not supposed to like hook up at work. Even if he's the boss, actually, especially if he's the
especially.
Boss.
Especially.
But I just, that is one of those things that regardless of the workplace, I always expect there to be at least one hookup or almost hookup scene that is at the workplace. And
yes, we got the one kiss, but yeah, I want desk, I want office, I want closet, I want... You hooked
on
up and have
ride.
To enter.
Love,
yes, you have to enter that. Work together at the same time, but yes. You have to time it at a, like 100%. I need that. So yeah, that's a really good gripe and grumble.
Ugh.
I only have two. There's the moment where Zara meets him and starts talking shit about the company because she doesn't know he is Rowan Kane, and she realizes it's him, and it's like, okay. She notes, like, I've seen his company photo, but his photo doesn't do him justice. And I was like, how bad must the, like, what did the picture look like for you to not recognize this man? Especially, I feel like with companies, again, that was so heavily, like, this is a family-run business and all of that. It's like, I'm sure they drill in who the owners are. And so
yes.
I was just like, how did you not notice
and
it was
her
him?
Family has worked at this park.
At the parks,
like,
for years.
Like, she's clearly been going to the parks even before she was working there. And I recognize that, like, the CEOs aren't hanging around. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But especially considering, like, how much family is, like, such a key element towards, like, the mission of Dreamland, I'm like, you know that, like, their grandpa was, like, bringing them to the park, like, all the time. Like,
totally.
So, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm just thinking, like, even if they had never run into each other in person, like, he's got to be on the website. Like, I don't.
Absolutely. Or, like, in Brady's office.
Yes.
Like, in pictures and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. I also, like, I have read a lot of billionaire romances. Mm-hmm. It's not my genre of choice. I guess that's my gripe and grumble. I'm like, I feel like, I don't know. I liked the New York scene. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, I don't need this. I don't know.
This is the tough thing about billionaire romance in general is like, and I think it's made more difficult by like the last like 5 or 6 years is just that.
Exactly. As I've become more progressive.
Yes.
And poor.
And that's the thing is like, I do think that there is like an element of like, I treat billionaire romance. This is how I kind of like trick myself into reading it. So maybe this will work for you too. I treat billionaire romance like it's as fantastical as like a prince and princess romance.
And me too.
Because
me too.
If you think of it in any kind of reality, and this is the tricky part with this one is because there's so many parts of it that feel real that you keep reminding yourself, oh my God, they're so real. This is such a real thing. Oh, but in reality, he would be a billionaire and eat the rich. So
yes.
It is very difficult.
I always have to switch that part of my brain off. Cause also like I'm like, also it's like it's your boss hooking up with you, which I know is like, it's very forbidden romance.
Right.
Like, love it. But it's also like, that's very inappropriate. And
he has
a breach of power.
Like,
yeah. There's a breach of power there. Like
so many. We're crossing
so many lines, and you just really gotta flip it off. Just fair.
It's harder. Like sometimes it's really easy to do, and sometimes it's not. Like every once in a while, I'll read. You know what's so funny is I came back from this signing, and I brought back. I'm gonna recommend this series to you to like check out at some point for the podcast. It is the most soap opera, ridiculous series I've ever, and I say that in a loving way, like, but it's the Mad World series by Hannah McBride, and it's just so outrageous. Like any trope that you've ever heard of in a soap opera, it has got twins, like one of them is from the wrong side of the tracks, one of them is like the mean girl, and then there's mistaken identity, and then there's like evil parents, and
love it.
But it's one of those things where like in most books, if I was to read any of this, I would be like, absolutely not. But
absolutely, totally.
About this
that works. It's like a telenovela
series.
in yes. your hands. Yeah.
And it's not going to be every book like that. It's the same with billionaires. Like every.
Yeah.
I usually don't read them either. But you know what? This series I happen to really love. I really love Annika Martin's billionaire series, which are just very funny. And it's not all of them. But yeah, I do really like this one. And I do recommend going on to read book two, and I have to read book three because I never made it to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely gonna do that. Yeah, so sequel scoop. This is the tea on any upcoming sequel seasons and the general reception. There's an extended epilogue, so pregnancy and marriage on Lauren's website. And then the next book in the Dreamland Billionaire series covers Declan's love story. It's called Terms and Conditions.
Yeah. I like that one. Like I do remember that one. And it is cool. Another office. I think it's more set more in the office. It's again like an employee boss
kind of your relationship.
And if I remember correctly, I think they do actually have sex in the office. So we're already fixing one of our mistakes. In book two.
She knew she had to include something like that. I love that. Yeah. And the third one is called Final Offer, and it was just released January of last year.
Okay.
And follows Cal, the other brother.
I guess I'm a year behind. I just missed that one.
That's so fair. Kelly, congrats on your new book, Hit It or Quit It. Where can the listeners find you and anything else you want to plug?
Oh boy. Well, I have the podcast, Boobies and Newbies. I will say I am not releasing as many episodes these days now that I'm writing. However, I still am pretty active on the social medias with that. It's at Boobies Podcast across where Facebook, Instagram. I don't really fuck with Twitter anymore ever since they went over to the X side. And over on TikTok, I'm at Real Kelly Ray, R-E-Y. And then anything book related or author related, or just me talking about places I go to eat in Portland, Oregon, is at Author Kelly Ray, R-E-Y, on both Facebook and Instagram, I think. So yeah, I spend most of my time these days on Instagram and TikTok. I also made the executive decision to combine my websites into one, because why would you need two? And so now you can find everything at boobiesandnewbies.com, because that's more fun than, you know, Kelly Reynolds. I don't know. I will always have the Boobies brand. Like, whether or love not it. I continue doing the podcast, you know, or it slowly fades away, I love that when I go and meet people in real life, they know me as, oh, that's Kelly from Boobies Podcast.
Yeah, I love that. No, I love that. That is really your brand. I'll put links to Kelly's books in the episode show notes. Thanks again so much for coming on.
Thank you. And I'm so glad that you're a romance reader now, because it just gives us
all to you
one more thing to talk about.
Absolutely. And that's the story of The Fine Print. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Kelly for joining me on today's show. If you're enjoying Ready to be Romanced, subscribe and leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this show. If you want more content from me, I do host another podcast, Ready to be Petty. It's about pop culture news, celebrity gossip, and reality TV. I also have a Patreon, patreon.com/rtbppodcast, where I post a mix of trending topics and pop culture deep dives. If you would like to suggest a book or leave a voicemail for a future episode, you can do so via the links in the episode show notes. I'm also super open to any type of feedback you have about the show. Just slide into my DMs at rtbppodcast. Our next episode is Book Lovers. Until then, happy reading. For Ready to be Romanced, I'm Tori. Goodbye.